Eddie Chavez. Ruben Nava. And Jesse Romero. Jesus 911.
Jesus 911, Virgin Most Powerful Radio. My name is Ruben Nava. My partner, Jesse Romero. We form a two-man team, and we're bringing you some muscular Catholicism, muscular Catholic Christianity. And my partner, I'm not sure if we've got him. He's here, but he's having a little trouble with the...
Yeah, I'm here. I'm 10-8, Ruben.
Okay, cool.
Firing up my computer here.
Good morning, Jess.
Good morning. Reporting for duty.
Yeah, Jess, you know...
My computer's not reporting for duty.
Well, you know, we have a... We have some. We're hearing some stories about some heroic priests that are going out there and getting in and getting into the, I guess, like the battlefield and bringing the sacraments to the people. And I'd like to see that more because you know we see the first responders out there. We see our fire, our police, our nurses, and you know emergency EMTs out there on the front lines, and they're putting themselves in danger. The doctors that are working in the ER, and it's so, it's very gratifying to see that that our priests are starting to wake up, starting to get to together and see that we need medics out there. There are medics, our spiritual
right.
medics, But
Ruben, and this is happening around the world. I mean, a lot of priests are stepping up and doing things that are quite different. I mean, quite out of the box, so to speak. But Ruben, hopefully, I keep hearing from President Trump that he doesn't want to go past this this lockdown past Easter.
Yeah,
I heard him say yesterday that he wants the churches to be full in Easter. So,
yeah,
his lips to God's ears.
He was saying, "Yeah, it's an important day for me." He said, and for a lot of Christians out there, Easter is the most important day. And it was great to see that coming from our president. So,
that inspired me, without a doubt.
You know, I saw this little meme, and I thought it was pretty appropriate. And it says, lockdown, because we're all on lockdown now. I over here in California, Jesse, they're going to make it a misdemeanor to be caught hiking on the trails or, walking along the beach because too large of crowds are gathering. And so... it's going to mean more people are going to have some downtime, but lockdown.
Let's be honest, there's not enough cops to be
seeing
people that are outside of their house. That's a veiled threat. It's a threat that can't be carried out. Our poor law enforcement officers are busy chasing the radio from one call to another.
That's true. That's a good point. But this little meme says, lockdown means it's time to lock yourself in the presence of God. Down on your knees. It's time to restore and to refocus.
I like that.
Yeah, I like that too. So it just reminds us that we've got to connect back with our Lord and Savior, because he's given us a wake up call. We could either ignore it and freak out, or we could do something about it and faith out.
Yeah, there you go, faith out,
mm-hmm.
Ruben. And right now, I know a lot of people that are good Catholics. They tell me that they've bumped up their prayer life beyond their expectations. They're starting to do much more spiritual reading. And so a lot of people are bringing a lot of good out of this. You know what I'm saying? They're taking lemons and making lemonade.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Hey, so let's talk about these priests. It's a LifeSite news article, and it's from March 19th, the Feast of St. Joseph. It says Catholic priests are doing their part to heroically battle against the coronavirus, finding creative means to not only deliver the sacraments to the faithful, but also to beg God for mercy and deliverance. And so with the help of a pilot parishioner, Father Anthony Manupella, pastor of St. Gianna Beretta Mola Parish in the Northfield, New Jersey, took the Blessed Sacrament and a statue of the Blessed Virgin Mary into the skies above the Diocese of Camden. And
there's pictures right there, right, Ruben?
Yeah, there is. And you know what? Camden, New Jersey, and New York are one of the hardest hit places with this virus. So they prayed for God's protection for the sick to be healed and for the end of this modern-day plague, the coronavirus. So while they're up in the plain with Jesus in the Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, and the statue of our Blessed Mother, he says, I'll be chanting the Litany of the Saints, because traditionally that is the prayer that we've said in the past when countries, especially in Europe, have been hit by the various plagues, says Father Manopello. So he says, after the litany, and you know what? I may as well tell you here, the litanies of the saints is powerful. If you've ever heard it chanted, it is one of the most beautiful things I've ever heard.
It's planet Earth.
It's said at the Paschal, right at Easter, right? And also, what's interesting is that it's one of the oldest prayers still in use. It was prayed in earlier forms in the procession of St. Mamertus, the Bishop of Vienna, in the 5th century, St. Gregory the Great's Litania Septiformis, which is a sevenfold procession of the clergy. I mean, it goes way back, early 500, 590s. And there's only six litanies authorized for use in public services by the Holy See, and one of them is that Litany of the Saints. You got the Litany of Loretto, Litany of St. Joseph, Litany of Holy Name of Jesus, Litany of the Most Precious Blood of our Lord Jesus, and the Sacred Heart. So if you've never heard it, you maybe look it up on YouTube, the long version of in Gregorian chant. It's beautiful.
Ruben, let me just mention something here.
Yeah.
I got my laptop working, so
okay.
Use that. The Litany of the Saints is used very effectively during exorcism sessions.
That's right.
And if Protestants could only see the power of the name of the saints when they're being invoked over a possessed person, then Protestants would have a different understanding about what we call the communion of saints. And I think the reason it's so effective during exorcisms over a person that's possessed is because, number one, the saints aren't dead. They're more alive than we are.
Correct.
And number two, I think the demons understand what we don't understand as clearly as they do. They understand, as it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, this great cloud of witnesses, which are saints and angels, which surround everybody who's living in a state of grace, especially when you call them, especially when a priest calls them during a session of exorcism. And I think a lot of the torment the demons feel when a priest is doing the Litany of the Saints, or the one of the litanies of Our Lady, or the blood of Jesus, or something, the demon, I think, is saying, man, all of those, we lost all of those. All of those are saved. We'll never have them. And their prayers are powerful, and their prayers torment us, and their prayers wound us. And it reminds me of a story in the Old Testament. Elisha was with the Israelites, and one of his right-hand man was saying, Elisha, the Syrians are about to, they're about to attack us, and they outnumber us, and here they are in horses with scimitars and swords and spears. And Elisha says, don't you see them? And Elisha's right-hand man saying, what are you talking about? All of a sudden, God allowed Elisha's right-hand man to see all around the camp of the Syrians and the Israelites were all these chariots. That's where you get the word chariots of fire. They were all these angels with like warrior angels in white horses all the way around the circumference of the Syrian army and the Israelites. And at that moment, Elisha's right-hand man realized why Elisha was not afraid. That's exactly, if we could see, if God would let us for 1 second see the saints around us, we would almost drop dead of fright.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So the priest goes on to say that after the Litany of the Saints, they many intercessory prayers to combat the virus, to combat a pandemic or plague, if you will. He says he starts saying those, and so I'll be praying those and other prayers as well to go over the whole diocese of Camden, and I'll bless them with Jesus and pray for their protection, pray for those that are sick to be healed, to pray also for the cessation of this modern-day plague, the coronavirus, because this is an invisible enemy, so only the powers of heaven will be able to combat it, and with, of course, the help of the doctors, etc. But God is always number one. We have to turn to Him. Good advice. And He says that I would hope that this virus would compel people to speak and think more about returning back to God. That's what we just finished saying. Returning back to the church, he added, seeing how fragile we are, how much we need God, how we could die any minute. We could be afflicted with this. And so with masses canceled, the clergy bring the Blessed Sacrament to their parishioners. And so there's other instances where they're actually having people come out to the street, Jesse, and they watch the mass live streamed, and these people are walking out and receiving the Blessed Sacrament and then going back into their homes. So a priest is out there processing down the street with the Blessed Sacrament and giving out Holy Communion. That's awesome.
Let's not forget, as we've been, yeah, this is inspirational. These are priests. These are real believers, okay? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, you have a large swath in the Catholic Church called modernists. They don't believe. They're probably at home, who knows, watching YouTube reruns or something. But the believers are doing things like this, okay? This is a priest that truly believes in the real presence of Jesus Christ. Let's not forget, right now that we're on semi-lockdown, don't forget two things. Do a spiritual communion every day. Think about Jesus in the Eucharist right now. That's what St. Thomas Aquinas says. Just think about him. Think about the tabernacle in the parish that you assist. Think about Jesus right inside there. And then say the spiritual communion. And also Psalm 91. We'll do both of those on the next segment. Psalm 91 is spirit. Just to remind you, let's connect with Jesus every day. And Psalm 91 is the prayer. It's a powerful prayer against pestilences and plagues. Ruben?
Amen. Hey, we'll be right back. We're going to be talking about a subject that many men struggle with. I want to hear this.
In 1 Corinthians 13:13, St. Paul says, "So there abide faith, hope, and love, these three." According to St. Ignatius of Antioch, faith is the beginning and love is the end. And God is the two of them brought into unity. Then comes everything else that makes up a Christian. May God grant that we may attain all the virtues that make for authentic followers of His Son.
Tummy.
How does the baby eat?
Can the baby hear me?
How did the baby get in there?
Wow, a pregnancy can sure generate a lot of questions, but what's important is that a baby is a baby, inside and out of the womb, not just after birth, but 9 months before, at conception.
That's right, every baby is a miracle. Hello, my name is Marianne Kuharski. I'm the director of Pro-Life Across America. If you know someone who is pregnant or in need of alternatives or assistance, or would like to support the work of Pro-Life Across America, please visit our website at prolifeacrossamerica.org, or better yet, simply dial #250 on your cell phone and say the keyword pro-life. Pro-Life Across America is non-political and totally educational.
A baby's heart is beating 18 days from conception.
Pro-Life Across America.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, 10-8, two-man car. We are going to give you some Catholic intel and some briefing so that we can get you out there you know, and evangelize the world. I obviously can't go out there and do it face to face right now, but by your actions, you know, you will be able to lead others to Christ and give them some hope. And Jesse, you wanted to pray the spiritual communion. Let me pray that. I'll say that one, and then you do Psalm 91. Jesse's there waving to us with a grandson. Let's see. We're going to give a spiritual communion. In nomine Patri, Filii, et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. My Jesus, I believe that you are present in the most holy sacrament. I love you above all things, and I desire to receive you into my soul. Since I cannot at this moment receive you sacramentally, come at least spiritually into my heart. I embrace you as if you were already there and unite myself wholly to you. Never permit me to be separated from you. Amen.
Let me do Psalm 91, Reuben.
Okay.
Psalm 91 is a prayer of protection from demons, from pestilence and plagues. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and buckler. You will not fear the terror of the night or the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked, because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On your hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. When they call me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. With long life I will satisfy them and show them my salvation. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Those are two prayers we got to be saying every single day. The spiritual communion with Jesus. Unite yourself with Jesus in prayer. And Psalm 91. It's a protection against plagues, pestilence, and demons.
Amen. That was good. We're switching to an article that it's talking about actor Orlando Bloom. You may have seen him in some movies.
Probably the most famous one is Lord of the Rings, Reuben. That's where
Lord of the Rings, yeah.
Yeah, that's I never that's saw his that. Big debut.
Go ahead, Jesse. Okay, go ahead.
Okay, I got it here.
Yeah.
This is inspirational. I got to give him kudos. It says, actor Orlando Bloom, he says, pornography is just so destructive. I'm going to stop right there. I give him credit because can you imagine how difficult it was to say being a Hollywood A-list actor? I mean, he essentially went against like 90% of his industry. He may be in the unemployment line after this. I'm not sure, but I give him credit. It says here, British actor Orlando Bloom, who performed major roles in the Lord of the Rings and Pirates of the Caribbean franchises, recently disclosed that he practiced celibacy for 6 months prior to dating pop singer Katy Perry, now his fiance, and further disclosed that pornography is very destructive. Bloom's comments were praised by the National Center on Sexual Exploitation, which commended the 43-year-old actor for using his influence to warn others. In a March 15th interview at the Times, Orlando Bloom, who was married to Miranda Carr for 3 years, explained that he had led, to some degree, the life of a playboy, but that he was not happy. And so a friend suggested that he try celibacy before seeking to date anyone new. I wonder if that was Eduardo Verástegui, because he's always telling all the actors, practice celibacy. I'm just saying. Yeah. Bloom said he was celibate for 6 months.
Wow, 6 months.
And that made it easier and more meaningful to date Katy Perry. The two are now engaged. As for pornography, Bloom said, porn is super disruptive in your sex life to your libido. They've done these studies. They can't find any kids who don't watch it. Now, that's a sad comment, but that's probably true. Mm. When you watch multiple people at multiple times in one evening, how is your actual real life partner going to match up? He said, it's just so destructive. It takes courage to publicly state the truth that pornography is destructive and harmful. And so we commend Orlando Bloom for using his influence to warn others, said Dawn Hawkins. She's the executive director of the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. She said in the statement as well, he is one of many public figures to speak out on the harmful trends or the impacts of pornography, including Cardi B, Terry Crews, Russell Brand, Kanye West, and more, said Hawkins. Furthermore, 15 states have now formally recognized its public health harms. Ruben, want to continue?
Okay, yeah, so numerous studies, research have found mainstream pornography with its common themes of incest, racism, and violence against women is linked to negative impacts on the brain and sexual development and is driving harms such as offline sexual violence, increased sex trafficking, and more, she said. And so this infiltration of pornography into online websites and apps has led to the increasing numbers of children who are exposed, and the effects on young minds can be detrimental, added Hawkins. You know, there's some sites, I don't even want to name them, some sites that don't even require legitimate forms of age verification from users who are uploading the content. It's fueling demand for sexual abuse material by offering Italians free access to premium hardcore pornography content, which includes themes of incest, child, teen, sexual abuse, said the statement. And so the normalization of pornography has helped to suppress the truth about its widespread harms. And Orlando Bloom has taken a bold step to confront it, Hawkins said. And, you know, those who engage in pornography, they live in a fantasy world, Jesse. You know, they withdraw from reality, you know, while genuine love requires that, you know, it's self-giving of oneself, you know, for the good of the others. Pornography entices a person to withdraw, you know, into a selfish world of perverted fantasy. And, it can be acted out, you know, to the detriment of oneself and others. And we'll get into it in the next article where, you know, you see crimes have occurred. Many of these sexual crimes have occurred as a result of people addicted to pornography, and they go and act it out, you know, whether it be rape, child sexual abuse, human trafficking, all these things. But there's a direct correlation to that, to pornography.
If a Catholic has an advantage, if a Catholic is addicted to pornography, what that Catholic should do is go to confession like once a week. That's what exorcists recommend for people, because there's a diabolical component to pornography. And I'll tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because our soul, or what we would call the faculties of the soul, you got, if you want to be specific, St. Thomas Aquinas says there's six. You got the intellect and the will, which are the higher faculties, which are the sanctuary between you and God. Then you got the lower faculties, which are memory, emotion, appetite, and instinct. Those are called the lower faculties. Well, guess what? Demons have access to the lower faculties. Demons have access to your memory, emotions, appetites, and instincts. Demons do not have access to your intellect and will, to your higher faculties. And so a lot of people that are stuck on this sin, there's a diabolical component, because number one, if you're not in a state of grace, you're basically allowing the demon. You got a green light. You're just saying, hey, come on inside and harass me. And what demons do is they manipulate your thoughts. That's what they do. They manipulate your thoughts. And the way to break this, there's two ways. Father Ripperger says that somebody who's stuck on pornography, you have to meditate on the passion of Christ. The passion of Christ will break this. It'll snap this disorder, and it'll snap your intellect and your will. It'll snap it back in place. What you do is look at a picture of the passion and pray the rosary, the sorrowful mysteries, every day if you're stuck on pornography, because you can't look at the broken, bloody body of Jesus Christ and be praying the sorrowful mysteries of the rosary and meditating on his passion and still be stuck on pornography, on you know, new dancers in your mind. It'll just drive that out. It'll remove those images. focusing on the bloody corpse of Jesus Christ. And you know, it's kind of easy, Ruben, for Mexicans, because if you notice all the Mexican crucifixes, they're all bloody. That's the tradition of Mexico. You go to Mexico, they don't have nice, you know, Italian sanitized crucifixes. They're all bloody. At least that's the tradition in Michoacan, where my parents are from, and other places. And so get a bloody crucifix and do the sorrowful mysteries and just look at it for 15 or 20 minutes as you're praying the rosary. And number one, you're praying to Mary, who's the queen of purity and the queen of chastity. And in a humility, you're begging her to remove this. And you're looking at the passion of Christ, at the bloody corpse of Jesus Christ. And this, if you do this every single day, along with weekly confession, it will break this addiction to pornography. You cannot look at the bloody corpse of Jesus Christ for 15 or 20 minutes a day and go to your computer and watch you know, naked people.
Mm. You know, pornography, you know, it's a grave offense to God, against God and his gifts to men and women. God created men and women in his image. And we have, we, you know, we're sharing in his divine life. And so rather than respecting and cherishing this image of God, pornography promotes a harmful and destructive anthropology. And it teaches people to use others as objects. And in this case, you know, it's a means of being selfish, lustful, you know, getting that gratification that you, it's gratifying the lower faculties that Jesse was talking about. So in addition, since pornography attacks sexual desire and the conjugal act itself, it wages war on marriage. It's important to, you know, a lot of people say, oh, it doesn't matter, man. It, you know, has nothing to do with my wife. You know, I'm just doing it on the side.
It has everything to do with her.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to treat her like a prostitute after you watch pornography. You're not going to treat her like a Christian spouse. You're not going to give her any dignity.
Yeah, yeah.
Because what you do, and guys have talked to me. They've told me. They go, Jess, I put on pornography, and then I go exactly to imitate what I saw.
Well,
are you kidding me?
Yeah.
With my wife. I said, and she allows that? Well, I kind of force her. This is what happens. It turns a man, Reuben, into a beast. That's what it does.
Yeah.
It preys upon our lower nature, which is, again, the memory, the emotions, the appetites, the instincts, the lower faculties. Those are the animal instincts of a man. That's what it does. It triggers them.
Right.
And we'll continue on this. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Men, beware. Listen up. We're going to be back in on the other side of the break, and we're going to continue with this topic of pornography.
Attention VMPR listeners, we've talked at length about the attack on our youth through popular culture media, but what if I told you there was someone trying to make a difference? The newest novel, Britfield and the Lost Crown, by C.R. Stewart, is reaching schools across America and sharing Christian morals alongside great storytelling. What if I told you that this mission needs your help? To reach more children, Britfield and the Lost Crown need funding for their ongoing book tour. If you're interested in making a difference, if you're interested in buying the book, or are curious and want more information, go to BritfieldInstitute.org. That's BRITFIELD Institute.org. Or email media@Britfield.com. Help open up the world of Britfield and the Lost Crown to people everywhere.
This is Terry Barber. I want to thank you for supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And here's an easy way to support us by going to smile.amazon.com and type in Catholic Resource Center or Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And when you log in your Amazon account and you purchase products, a portion of it will go right back in supporting Virgin Most Powerful Radio. And it doesn't cost you a dime. I want to thank you ahead of time because that supports us year-round. May God bless you and your family.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow! That's 80%! RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. We're iron sharpens iron and one man sharpens another. Jesse, I think I was looking at on the break, I was looking at some of the chat line, and somebody made a good point, man, with this lockdown. It's giving people dead time, you know, to just sit around and you know,
get in this stuff.
You know, you can't flee from it. You know, it's one of the things that we teach is that you flee from that temptation. When you feel it coming on, get out, go do something, go work out, go for a walk or something. But if they're not leaving the couch, or they're not leaving their computer, they're going to be in trouble. And I just want to mention something. There's some crime stats that I had pulled up and related to this topic.
Share them.
You know, there's a proven direct correlation between crimes of rape, child abuse, and the physical abuse of a spouse, and the proliferation of the pornographic materials, and the presence of live porn and sexually oriented businesses in a community. That's from the Uniform Crime Report. And several examples support the correlation. In 1991, the LAPD found in a period of 10 years that pornography was involved in 2/3 of all child molestation cases. Out of every 6 persons in our federal and state prisons is a sex offender, and sex crimes are second only to drug crimes. And finally, in 1988, the FBI, Federal Bureau of Investigation, reported that 81% of violent sexual offenders regularly read or viewed violent pornography. And, you know, we go back to the Ted Bundy. You know, he was involved in pornography, and then he'd go out there and rape and kill young girls. I mean, I'm not saying that every time you look at pornography, you're going to turn into a mass murderer, but this is, there's a direct correlation.
The seed is planted, Ruben. That's how everything started. You just can't compromise as a soldier of Christ, part of the church militant. You can't let any chink, compromise your armor. We can't compromise with sin. We have to be hardliners. We got to be black and white about this. There's no I'll just do it a couple times. You know, it's not going to hurt anybody. There are some things that you can't compromise with, and this is one of them. I'll tell you why pornography is. I'll tell you why it's systemically evil. Because the act of sensual intimacy, St. John Paul II says, was given to a husband and a wife in a faithful, fruitful, lifelong marriage until death do you part. And what the world has done, or should I say what the devil's done, he's taken that beautiful act of sexual intimacy, which unites couples in the bond of love and brings forth human life as well, which is another very important component part of family life, of marriage. What it does, it takes the act that God, because it's this gift of God. God gave us the gift of sexual intimacy, that sexual complementarity. And what the world has done with it, they've perverted the beautiful act of sex. For example, Ruben, I'll just be honest with you. I tell people, I said, that's not something that was meant to be seen. That's something so... It's a gift so intimate that God has given a husband and a wife that it's supposed to be exclusive behind closed doors in private. And in fact, when you are properly reciprocating that love with your wife, and the wife is reciprocating that clean love with her husband, guess what happens? God comes in the picture. God literally comes into your bedroom. Guess what? when you're involved in unclean, pornographic type sex, guess who you invite into your bedroom?
Mm.
Demons. Just remember that.
Wow.
Yeah. Sexual intimacy, clean, holy sexual intimacy literally invites God into your bedroom and the angels. That's what happens. Unclean, pornographic, perverted sexual intimacy that's sinful invites demons into your room. This is, who's told me this? The top exorcist in this world.
That's powerful.
They told me this is exactly what happens. And this is why this is so serious to get it right. The demons love anything that's unclean. They love anything that's disordered. And what are demons not attracted to, or what repels them? What's, it's like kryptonite. What repels them? Whatever is clean. That's why they can't stand the Blessed Virgin Mary, St. Joseph. Whatever is properly ordered according to the church, demons can't stand that. They can't stand the clean and the order. They are attracted to the unclean and the disordered. This is why pornography is wrong. And it's also, Ruben, this is also this, there's a this utilitarian ethic that came from the liberals back like 200 years ago, these Enlightenment thinkers.
Yeah.
It's called utilitarianism, which it essentially means, well, I'm going to do whatever makes me feel good, regardless of who I affect.
Yeah.
Regardless of who I hurt or who I affect around me. If it feels good, I'm going to do it. That's called utilitarian ethics. Mm-hmm. Well, that's completely the opposite of Catholic ethics. Catholic ethics is we do things that are good for the, we do what's good for the common good. Okay. What's good for the body of Christ. And which means what's good oftentimes is to sacrifice, is to put yourself, as Jesus says in Matthew 25:41, there is no greater love than this, that a man would lay down his life for another. That's Christian ethic, apart from utilitarian ethics, which is whatever feels good, I'm going to do it. I don't care who I hurt or who I screw over.
Mm. Yeah, Jesse, that reminds me of a retreat I went to. It was put on. We have it was an annual sheriff's retreat at the Sarah Retreat Center in Malibu. It's a Catholic, run by Franciscans, but it was open to all denominations. So, I mean, the priest there was giving a good homily, and he said, kind of what you're saying, you know, you guys, he was talking to, first responders. So he was saying, you know what, you guys all pat yourself on the back. Hey, I got your back, brother. I got your six, and you know, you can count on me. I'll give my life for you. Right. And then you go out and you're messing around with like 924 with a girlfriend on the side, and you're married, and so you're cheating on the one person that you took the vow before God that you would respect, that you would cherish, that you would be true to, and do you really have your partner's back? Can your partner really trust you? Because if you're going to do that to your wife and your children, then you can't be trusted. And I just, man, that hit home. That was, wow. Cool. I mean, it hit home for me, but it resonated with me because I said, man, you know, yes, you and I know.
It hits home with a lot of guys, Ruben.
A lot of guys are doing that. And and I like what you said that you know, maybe people think twice about when they're having this, doing this pornography or, you know, unclean sex that the demons are invited in. That's powerful.
Absolutely.
The catechism.
Think about that next time.
Yeah, the catechism of the Catholic Church says that in 2354 says, pornography consists in removing real or simulated sexual acts from the intimacy of the partners in order to display them deliberately to third parties. It offends against chastity because it perverts the conjugal act, the intimate giving of spouses to each other. It does grave injury to the dignity of its participants, the actors, the vendors, the public, since each one becomes an object of base pleasure and illicit profit for others. It immerses all who are involved in the illusion of a fantasy world. It is a grave offense. And, you know, civil authorities should prevent the production and distribution of pornographic materials. And I remember hearing a priest saying in a sermon once that just think about those young girls that are, the images are being broadcast. They have a father and a mother who love them. And you know, and we have our Heavenly Father, you know, and our Blessed Virgin Mary who loved them too. And when we objectify them like that, it's a grave offense, you know, and it just brings a disservice to, you know, mankind. So,
Ruben, I'll tell you something that's sad. I just pulled up an article right here that says that who are the biggest purveyors of and promoters of pornography in America? Here's what the article says. It's from the JewishQuarterly.org. It says the Jews in America are the biggest purveyors and promoters of pornography. Mm. Though the Jews only make up 2% of the American population, they have been the most prominent producers of pornography. Now, I'm reading from a Jewish quarterly journal. So it's not an anti-Jewish magazine that I just quoted. I'm quoting from a Jewish source. This is their magazine. And they're saying, yep, we're guilty of this. And that, you know, here's what happens is, they were God's chosen people in the Old Testament. But how far they have fallen. I mean, just let's just be honest. By the rejection of Jesus Christ as their Messiah, they continue to be blinded. There's St. Paul talks about the blinding that's come over the Jewish people in Romans chapter 9. And when you're blinded and stuff, I mean, there's no restraint to what you'll do. Servant of God, Father John Hardin, one of the greatest Jesuits in our century, he said,
yes,
nothing blinds the intellect more than sexual sin. Say it again. Father John Hardin, servant of God, nothing blinds the intellect more than sexual sin. And again, and St. Louis de Montfort, he says, this is the way you break any sin.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what Father Ripperger just says, do what Louis de Montfort says, but put a picture of a bloody corpse in front of you, a bloody crucifix. St. Louis de Montfort says this, no one can live continually in sin and continue to say the daily rosary. Either they will give up sin or they will give up the rosary.
Absolutely.
Father Ripperger says, take that a little. If you're struggling with pornography, do the daily rosary, but do it in front of a bloody crucifix.
Good point.
If you don't, get on the internet and look at the bloody pictures of the Passion of Christ and have them right there as you're doing it. You do that every single day, and what's going to do, you're going to take custody of your intellect, and you're going to snap your lower faculties back into place.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay, we'll get
it in the next article, Ruben. It talks about something scandalous.
Yeah, very scandalous. We're going to be talking about the same subject, but this group wants to improve public health with pornography. Just come on. This mic on?
Lord, help us.
Yeah.
Lord, help us.
Help the Helpless, a Minnesota St. Paul nonprofit organization chaired by Father of Tyr and volunteers, is humbly asking you for your kind support to help the poor and the handicapped children in India and Ecuador. Through financial support from the Help of the Helpless benefactors, the children are provided with clothing, food, education, shelter, and the teachings of the Catholic Church. The mission is to help children thrive and become self-sufficient young adults leading productive lives. We also provide aid to poor families in Ecuador with food baskets, medicines, medical assistance, and help with funeral needs for the deceased. The work in India is done by Father Antonio's organization, St. Mary's. In Ecuador, the work is being done by the Servant Sisters of the Home of Mother. You can call us at 877-762-8857. To learn more, please visit our website, www.helpthehelpless.org. God bless you.
Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. According to Pope St. John the 23rd, it is not true that some human beings are by nature superior and others inferior. All human beings are equal in their natural dignity. May God help us to look upon everyone as a person created in His image and likeness, and treat everyone the same without favoritism or prejudice.
Buying or selling your home or your business property? This is Terry Barber. Real Estate for Life underwrites the Terry and Jesse Show, and they can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. And when they receive their referral fee, they will give 80% of it to a pro-life organization. Wow, that's 80%. RealEstateForLife.org, 877-LIFE-US1.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We are back, Jesus 911, two-man car. We're talking about the sin of pornography. And I just want to, if I think some of our listeners, why don't you share this video? Because a lot of men struggle with this. You probably got people in your family that that could use hearing this message today. So share this video and share our podcast.
Here's another thing that I would say if you're struggling with pornography. Again, you have to beat this away with prayer. You got to change your hard drive. You got to change what you're inputting into your mind. Another thing that'll help break this is start praying the chapter of the Divine Mercy every single day. Try to do it at 3 o'clock. I'll tell you why. Here's what happens. Let me give you the theology. The chapter of Divine Mercy is a prayer where you're just focusing on the blood of Jesus, the passion of Christ. Here's what happens when you pray. Okay, think about a gun. When you squeeze the trigger, a bullet comes out. A bullet projects out of the gun.
Mm-hmm.
What projects out of your soul and out of your mouth when you pray? Prayer. Words project out of your soul and out of your mouth. It projects out into the cosmos. Okay, prayer is a weapon. And so what happens, prayer has an offensive nature. Prayer, it repels demons, it torments demons, it wounds them. But prayer also sets up a defensive perimeter for you and your family. Okay, it's like cover fire. You set up a defensive perimeter. And so prayer also, it makes God present. The fathers of the church say that prayer has what's called this. It's a Greek word, anamnesis. Anamnesis, it's the church fathers, it's a Greek word which means to make God present. So, for example, when you're praying the Divine Mercy and those prayers are coming out of your mouth like bullets and you're shooting them into the air, into the cosmos, you're projecting them into the air, guess what? You're projecting into the air the blood of Jesus, the passion of Jesus. That's what you're doing. And so what you're doing, that sets up a defensive perimeter for you, your family, your house. Think prayer projects. It's coming out of your mouth. You're unleashing it into the air. As the Bible says, our prayer rises like incense into the air, into the throne of God. That's what you do with prayer. So you set up the sweet aroma of Christ, as St. Paul says, as you project prayers from your soul out of your mouth into the air. It has an offensive nature because it drives demons away, and it got a defensive nature. It sets up a defensive perimeter around you, your family, and your house. And this is the only way you're going to beat this back. You're not going to beat this back by going to a psychologist and laying on the couch and telling them your problems, or by chanting mantras in a Buddha position. You could only beat this back because prayer, what it also does, prayer is the doctrines and the dogmas of the church. And what's happened, somebody who's stuck on pornography, their intellect is not well formed by the doctrines and the dogmas of the church. If you immerse yourself in a life of prayer 3 times a day, deep committed Catholic prayer, what happens is you're reintroducing yourself into the doctrines and dogmas of the Catholic Church with these prayers. And that takes custody of your intellect, and that snaps your lower faculties back into place. But you got to do it militantly, morning, midday, evening. In fact, here's the best. Any guy right now that's dealing with pornography right now, okay, get your cell phone and put your cell phone for 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. You're going to join millions of Catholics around the world that more Catholics pray at that time. Okay, that's the monastic prayer of the church's life. Here's the prayer protocol I'm going to put you on. Okay, when it rings at 6 in the morning, you're going to do the Angelus at 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. You're going to do the Auxilium Christianorum prayers. Those are binding demon prayers from Father Ripperger, 6 a.m., 12 noon, and 6 p.m. If you do that every single day, you put yourself on a prayer protocol, I promise you, in 30 days or less, you will not have a desire for sexual pornography, sexual sin any longer. Because what you're going to do is you're going to reorder your faculties through prayer. You start learning the dogmas of the church through prayer. And you're ordering your life and you're praying and entering into a monastic life like the Catholic Church does around the world. That's the most powerful weapon you have against the diabolical. You have to enter into the church's monastic schedule, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. Here it is, okay? Angelus. Demons can't stand the Angelus. It's the focusing on the incarnation. That's the essence of Christianity. God became a man. You know, caro factum est. That's the high point of Christianity. 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. The Auxilium Christianorum prayers, 6 a.m., 12 noon, 6 p.m. In the evening, you're going to add the rosary, watching pictures from Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ. You do that, I promise you, you're not only going to eradicate this desire for pornography, you're gonna put yourself on the fast track to holiness, and you're going to be an uber Catholic. Ruben?
Wow, well said, Jesse. Man, you're preaching it, Jess. Good job.
Hey, bro, because I just know how... I know how the demon uses this to take so many men and just put them on the sidelines.
Yeah.
Good Catholic men, bro. They're like, hey, Jess, I can't get involved in the church. Why? Well, you know, I play with myself every day. Why? And these are good, strong, virile men. And the devil shames them into just like, oh, I can't teach catechism.
They're wimps.
Confirmation. Yeah. Yeah. Turns them into wimps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. They're not... They're no good to their families. They're no good to anybody when we got, you know.
And they're definitely not good to the kingdom of God.
Yeah. Like sometimes people say, are you a man or a mouse? In this case, you become a mouse. And just this article that we're going to touch on.
Go through the article, Ruben. What's the essence of it?
It's, you know, the American Journal of Public Health is, they're nuts. They're saying that they're asking, you know, that, does pornography improve public health? You know, so the healthcare professionals, they have in mind for the future of America's children this idea that, you know, that this promotion of sex and pornography can actually help people, help the children.
The children, Ruben, they want to target children.
Yeah, of course. That's where they want to change the minds. That's all part of communism.
Yes. And, amen.
So they want to corrupt the sense of pleasure. And they said, you know, this time perhaps you could take a look at a book or a magazine by its cover. Two people are lying in a field. And so they show homosexual images. They're trying to drive home. They have a goal in mind, and that's to pervert these kids. And they move away from the narrowly defined definitions that the medical industry has always talked about, you know, about the role of pleasure. But St. Thomas Aquinas, he says that there's pleasures can be good or evil in the moral order. There is a good pleasure whereby the higher or lower appetites rest in that which is in accord with reason, and an evil pleasure whereby the appetite rests in what is discordant from reason and the law of God. Wherefore, since the desires of good actions are good and the evil actions evil, much more are the pleasures of good actions good and those of evil actions. That's what we've been saying this whole show, you know. The AJPH is trying to convince its readers that all pleasure is good. And this concept is not new. It's been promoted by those who promote hedonism. And, they, you know, that's just a term that the group, the name given to the group of ethical systems that hold that with various modifications that feelings of pleasure or happiness are the highest and final aim of conduct.
Utilitarianism.
Yep. That consequently, those actions which increase the sum of pleasure are thereby constituted right, and conversely, what increases pain is wrong. Completely antithetical to the Catholic doctrine, to the Christian doctrine.
Yeah, you know, to the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Pick up your cross and follow me.
Absolutely.
You know, he who wishes to save himself must pick up his cross and follow me. The whole life of the Christian is one we're called to enter into self-sacrifice and redemptive suffering for the greater good, or the salvation of our soul and the salvation of others. This is straight from the devil. This journal is written by the pen of Satan, Reuben.
Yeah.
Continue.
Absolutely. You know, I'm just going to say that, because we're getting short on time, that this whole issue goes all the way back to Humani Vitae, Jesse. When you separate the, you know, if people don't know what it is when Pope Paul VI, St. Pope Paul VI, he put a ban on artificial contraception. And there was a lot of people who really were offended by that. And they wanted, even people in the church that wanted him to pat to say, hey, everything's cool. And he said that this was going to bring problems. Because when you separate the procreative and the unitive act, it goes outside of nature. And it says, Humani Vitae stated, the doctrine often expounded by the magisterium of the church based on the inseparable connection established by God, which man on his own initiative may not break, between the unitive significance and the procreative significance, which are both inherent to the marriage act. And he said there was going to be consequences to it. And this is what we're seeing. We're seeing the breakdown of the family. We're seeing that, you know, the children going astray, and, you know, especially the children, and you know, they're exposed to such temptations, and they need incentives to keep the moral law. And it's an evil thing to make it easy for them to break the law, he said.
And I'm just wondering who funds this AJPH, this American Journal of Public Health. George Soros, some communist party, Playboy magazine,
Bill Gates, maybe.
Parenthood. Yeah, I can imagine who funds this garbage.
Mm. It's a shame, Jesse, that we're even having to talk about this, that they're trying to push this, make this mainstream into our schools, and saying that the pleasure principle is all that's the highest form of, you know, that we can do to ourselves, for ourselves, instead of suffering, instead of you know, looking out for our fellow man, but giving of ourselves. They want us to become selfish. This is what it's all about, is me, myself, and I, Jess.
If you want to know the difference between Christianity and the world, utilitarian ethics, these carnalists, these hedonists, just look at a picture of Jesus Christ from the movie The Passion of Christ. Look at that. And then side by side, juxtapose that with a picture of a Hugh Hefner with four young girls, two under each arm, and he's got a bathrobe on and slippers.
Mm.
That's the difference between what the world teaches and what God teaches. What is the essence of being a man?
Yeah. And this group is not going to stop. They're not going to stop at just pornography. I mean, these are people that are supporting, you know, that Nambula, North American Man Boy Love Associations, you know, making it's a free for all. Anything goes. So let's pray for these people. Let's pray for our families. Stay churched up, Jesse.
Churched up and prayed up.
Jesse gave you your marching orders for today, ladies and gentlemen. Let's follow them. Stay tuned for Hands On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda from the Spiritual Dojo in the Midwest Command Center. You've been listening to Jesus 911. Stay ready. You don't have to get ready. We're out. 10-7.
St. Faustina's Prayer for Priests. O my Jesus, I beg thee on behalf of the whole church, grant it love and the light of thy spirit, and give power to the words of priests, so that hardened hearts might be brought to repentance and return to Thee, O Lord. Lord, give us holy priests. Thou Thyself maintain them in holiness. O Divine and Great High Priest, may the power of Thy mercy accompany them everywhere, and protect them from the devil's traps and snares, which are continually being set for the souls of priests. May the power of Thy mercy, O Lord, shatter and bring to naught all that might tarnish the sanctity of priests. For Thou canst do all things. Amen. Virgin most powerful, pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful Radio, sharing the gospel with clarity and charity.